Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, I'll give you my Kimmel Wedding Nashville recap, a little Emmy talk. We'll take some calls as well. First, there's Geico. Do you own, do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, and then there's your automotive policy. Well, Geico says bundle, man. Take your homeowners or your renter's insurance along with your automotive policy and get your bundle working. Geico makes it easy to take those policies, put them together, get them under one roof. It's a good thing because you already have so much to do around the house. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could be saving when you get your bundle working at geico.com.
Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL, some of you have seen me on Instagram, and some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life, former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler, Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Ian Bagg. With Gina Grad on news and Paul Bryan on sound effects. And now, so fresh from Nashville, he still smells like brisket and whiskey. Usually he just smells like whiskey. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but the other man that you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Ian will come in. We'll have some laughs with him. We'll do a little Emmy update. I'll do a wedding update, travel update. First thing, nice job holding down the fort, people.
Thank you.
That's just a waste of my time.
Yes, Sonny did a great job. I have a question for you, Adam. We have to get this solved because I almost didn't sleep last night after dealing with these gentlemen yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I feel attacked. And this is a hostile, toxic work environment. And I'd like you to weigh in.
I messed this up.
So I had an idea. It might be fun to do, you know, instead of like a nerd walking or a gay walking, we do like a Gina walking with football questions. And then, you know, we do it just like they do. We record it in advance and I do my answers and they cut the clip before I answer and everybody says yes or no. Mm-hmm. Super fun. Everybody having a great time.
Not enough to yell about first class. We can't do that.
Does she know this? Does she know how many points a safety is good for?
I went with more like name one team, you know, Brett Favre played for.
Right.
But those types of questions. Right. Yeah. We're rudimentary.
Now, it's not, I don't want you to look at this through the lens of what you know or what these guys know. Knowing me, I'd like you to look at this through the lens of what I know.
All right.
One of the questions was.
Let me
hit your truth, not the truth.
Brian, do you have a cast iron skillet you could hit me with really hard?
Dare you.
Or Dawson. I mean, you probably don't have a skillet on.
I would have to get it from home.
Dawson, you have a skillet in the truck?
I left it in my other pants.
All right. Well,
I hate you guys.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. This is through my eyes.
Your eyes. Yeah.
Here we go.
The game has to be played that way.
Thank you.
I agree.
You're going to play it? Great. Here we go.
Who won last year's Super Bowl?
Right.
What year is it right now?
2021.
What year was it last year?
2021.
Okay. Oh,
or 2020.
You.
Well,
Super Bowl play.
Adam's actually making my point.
You went to KC.
I did.
And not Tampa.
I did. Because I was told it was last year.
I worded that poorly. I should have said who won last season's
But
Super
I don't know
it's
if
implied.
You go by
season.
Yeah,
okay.
Nope. Would you expect her to know that, though?
Where's the skillet? That's tough. I can't even put myself there without the skillet.
Who won this year's Super Bowl? I'd say, 2021. Let me figure out who it is. Last year's 2020.
You're 100% justified, Gina, but in the football world, last year and last season are kind of interchangeable.
But that's my point. You guys know that.
Do you travel with an oar?
Oh, my God.
It doesn't have to be a skillet.
Yes, I do.
I think I'm painting us into a corner with my skillet talk.
Got a couple paddles, too.
Something heavy. Something you could wield. Something you could crack over my head.
Axe handle?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, just keep the sharp part off.
Yeah.
Yeah, turn it around.
That's fine,
all
as
right.
long as I get the point for
all right,
it.
There's something there.
Also, through some football god was talking through me, I guessed, apparently accurately, what position Michael Strahan used to play.
Mm-hmm.
Defensive end?
Yeah.
Okay. And then...
You're not impressed enough. Gina played impressed end out of nowhere.
I don't,
yeah,
I don't know any...
you're right. I know. Well, I know.
Hold on. Oh, wait. I called... Right.
The previous question was what... Robin Krassi play back in the day. She said ball sacker?
Ball sacker.
Oh, wow.
So...
Was I right?
No.
Okay.
No.
And then finally, I didn't know... I couldn't remember what team OJ had played for, so I think I guessed the Brentwood Murderers.
Well, the Bills, the 49ers, and a year with the Rams or something?
I could have said USC, apparently.
I thought it was just Niners and Bills. But
probably
I don't
Niners and Bills. I don't know if he had. I may be thinking...
we would have accepted USC.
There were a couple of guys like Joe Namath. At the end of their prime ended up like having 1 year with the Rams. But I guess it was just Bills and Niners.
I just wanted you to validate that.
Yeah.
I understand how years work.
Not... Yes, not too bad.
Thank you.
All right. I had some discussion, travel, things of that nature.
Oh.
I almost did something I have never done in all my travels to date. So there's certain...
Left Mike August alone?
There's certain things I do and certain things I don't do. Now,
refuse the second round?
So I've said...
Sorry, my friend.
I have... Well, that will factor into the story.
All right.
I have decided that there are things I can do financially, mm-hmm. such as purchase an expensive car or warehouse or something like that. Or even stay at a really expensive resort with the family in Maui or something. But room service, that's too good for me.
Yeah.
I can't do room service. I can't do the mini liquor bottles in the mini fridge.
I think you and I are the same way in that the resort in Maui, you know, whatever my version of that is, you're getting a good value. You're like, okay, we're spending money, staying in a nice place, we're going to enjoy ourselves. Room service, the value is out of whack.
It's actually diminished.
$28 for two eggs and two strips of bacon. It's like, the value is
And by
off.
The time they walk it over, it's steamy and cold.
I can do it for other people, too. It's just the individualness of the room service. Bumps. Well, anyway, something I'd never done, but I did, which was all right. So we flew out and Jimmy just kind of booked up the whole back of the plane. So everyone just sat in coach in the back of the plane, but it was, you don't really realize, like, you don't like coach, but if it's filled with people you like
friends,
it's really not so bad.
That's
so
a road trip.
I had a nice conversation with Jimmy's wife, sister, and the husband, and the three-month-old as well, who cried right at the start and then knocked off, and we had a laugh, and blah, blah, blah. And Jimmy's dad was sitting in front of me, and his mom was off to the right, and Molly and Kelly, their sister's parents, were in front of us. And Jimmy was somewhere in the back, further back. I didn't even know he was on initially. So we're going to fly back. And the other thing about flying coach is, as long as you know that somebody who has more money than you is also flying coach, it's soothing.
It's a salve. Yeah.
So I knew Jimmy was on the plane. Yeah. I was like, all right, good enough for Jimmy.
Good
enough for me. But I did find out over the course of the weekend that he was flying back privately because of the Emmys.
Mm.
The Emmys were going off in some time, and he needed to get back and get in some location where if he won, he could give a acceptance speech or go.
I didn't get
all the nuts and the bolts, but it was Emmy Sunday and he's nominated and he needed to get back. So I was all right. So then I get to the airport traditionally 45 minutes to 55 minutes before the flight if I'm pre-checked in and I don't check bags, but because this is Jimmy, the bus is leaving the hotel.
Crack it on.
Full 2.5 hours before the flight, and it's 15 minutes from the hotel to the... So now we got time at the airport. I get philosophical about it, which is fine. I'll hang out at the airport, watch some NFL, have a few drinks, and have a few laughs. Then I start thinking, wait a minute. Maybe I could get into that first class lounge. I don't think so. I don't have a first class ticket, but I have one of these American Express black cards. Maybe
that's supposed that'll to be the open every door card, isn't
supposed
it?
Supposed to. Well, if you use it to jimmy doors open.
Physically open yeah. a door.
It's physically stout. So you could pry doors with sure. it, but no, it's not recognized.
Right. Okay,
it,
okay.
Oh, they tell you.
Sure.
Sure.
They tell you when you get this card, you'll just drive down the street and all the street lights will turn sync green. Up and turn right. green for you. That's not how it works. But I thought, you know, I'll try to get in. And of course, I walked in and there's Danny Two Sheets. He's beat me to the first class lounge and he's converting his premium miles into oh, yeah. first class okay. seats. Why? And Daniel's doing sure. all the stuff I wish I could do and I can't do. And it's the kind of thing where I can't do it and other people don't care. That, yeah. That's really, you really realize in life.
There's a Boy Scout offering to help.
Dr. Drew is married to a woman who used to be a travel agent. Sure. She cares. Right. Once you get outside of who's actually on the plane yeah. and you start kicking it down.
Sure.
Yeah, they just don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care about them either. Let's be fair.
As this thought entered my mind, I know the cul-de-sac went down which this question will go. But with all your travel and all the credit card and everything and the spending, you've got to be a miles millionaire by now.
It's exactly what Daniel
said to me.
Daniel just looked at me and go, aren't you premium plus platinum by now? And I'm like, I don't know.
Impossible to say.
I don't. I have an expired Exxon card in my backpack. I do not know. But that's how it works.
Right.
Now, again, if Daniel and I were a gay couple, it would be awesome.
Perfect.
Taken care of. So he's converting all his shit. He's getting his first class upgrade, which is now already bumping me because now Jimmy's flying private and Daniel's getting into first class.
It's like when Brian flies business.
And I was going to say, I probably have more status than Adam on various hotels and airlines, and I have a fraction of his net worth.
At some point, they're saying... And I'm trying to negotiate my way into the lounge. And at some point, Daniel, because he's premium plus platinum, they're going, okay, you and your group, yeah, you're welcome in. And I present the thing to the other gal. And she's like, oh, are you with them? And I'm like, yeah, I'm with them. She's like, oh, okay, well, you go in too.
Oh.
And I go, oh, okay, all right. And I'm like, something's wrong, yeah, but
no
okay.
Follow-up questions.
Kick my bag, like I literally drop kick my backpack to get it, you know, once you bust the hymen.
Like your baby
threshold.
Over the border.
Yeah, I threw it over. Like, like the last helicopter out of Hanoi. No, not Hanoi.
Saigon. Let's update that to Afghanistan.
Afghanistan. The last plane, C-130 Afghanistan.
Had a couple.
I throw it over the top. And I get about 8 steps into the lounge and I hear the, oh, no, oh, no, sorry. And the chick rushes around and she comes and retrieves me. I would sort of argue that once you do that, you can't take it back. But okay, brings me back.
It's like on the embassy. You're on French soil.
Yeah.
That's right. So I go, how much? And she goes, $59. And I go, how long am I going to be here? About an hour? Okay. There's some nice bars downstairs that got the game on.
True.
But this is... And I just go, fuck it. I'm doing it for the first time ever. I've never bought
it.
I've tried the lounge 7,000 times. I've been denied 8,000 times, but I am worth it.
You're going to buy your way in.
So I go, $59 it is. Sign
and
up.
You say, make it 70.
Right. I get to the lounge. I walk in. I go to the bar. I go, give me a double vodka, soda, and lemon. And they're like, well, we have to charge for cocktails.
What? The point.
Beer and wine, complimentary, but if you want a cocktail, and I was
that's
like,
outrageous.
I was like, what kind of soup are we talking here? Lentil. I'm like, I'm out of here.
You got dead.
I grab my bags and stuff. I go right back to the woman.
Smashed her credit card.
I'm like, I got to undo this.
Yeah.
Like, I did, and I'm like, I came back like, I didn't eat anything. I didn't touch cheese. I didn't touch anything.
I barely just breathed this air.
I just walked in. I walked out.
You really did.
I did. I said,
good for you.
I said, fuck it. Because I knew there was a nice sports bar down below. They had the games on. Just going to sit at the bar, order a couple, whatever my drink, whatever tab, I wouldn't get to $59.
Right.
That was my whole thing.
And you probably were able to watch more games, just your eyes darting around than you
I was.
In the lounge.
So I explained to Daniel and company, I'm out of here. And I got my money refunded, and I went back down and just sat at the bar and happily paid for my drinks.
And gumbo and beer cheese yes. soup and all the good stuff.
You showed them.
So the wedding was great. I told you guys mm-hmm. about this already.
Drizzle, you said?
Don Barris wore a balloon hat.
You know, now that I think about it, he may have wore like a wreath, like a flowery.
Oh, sure.
Something that a woman.
Like a garland.
A midsummer situation.
Yeah.
Whenever you see Mother Nature depicted in a movie.
Yes.
That's what Mother Nature wears.
A flower crown.
Yes, of course, of course.
On her head.
Yes.
Yes. You can. We might be able to blow it up a little here, but you can see that Don Barris is wearing a flower halo.
A crown.
A crown of flowers on his head
while
presiding over the wedding. And by the way, wearing the same crown on the bus ride to the airport the next day. He never took the crown.
He commits to it.
Am I looking at 9 groomsmen?
Yes, a lot of groomsmen.
10, maybe, unless I'm off account.
That was great. The food was great. Music's great. People's great. You know, everything's great. Some people I hadn't seen. You know, Jimmy.
Steak or chicken?
We had the.
Even better.
We got a nice picture
Ooh.
Of it. At Martin's Barbecue.
Oh,
pulled pork
and baked beans.
All the good stuff. It was good. You know, Jimmy, of course, has all his friends who he went to high school with and stuff. They're still around. The aptly named Jimmy Gentleman. Best name ever. His best friend.
He's got to be an escort.
It's a perfect. He's the nicest guy in the world. So they're all there. Jimmy Everyone's Jim. There. Everyone's having a good time. Flew back, got Coach Plus, so I got a little foot room on the way back.
You used your status to upgrade?
Yes. No, I paid $63 and got to straighten my leg out another 4.5 inches, which is how it worked. I guess the Emmys went off. Well, maybe I was in the air. I didn't... It's not really appointment viewing anymore. It's also... kind of confusing, again, the categories, because I think Jimmy's in with John Oliver, I think.
Would that be writing for a talk show variety series, I imagine?
Yeah, and John Oliver's a half hour once a week,
right?
Which is fine,
That's
but
weird.
Anybody who's worked in TV an hour a day, that is the difference between an assembly line and a handcrafted Rolls Royce.
Right.
Like, it is just, you can put so much more time.
Right. Yeah.
And it's all time. It's just like, you got to crank it out. It doesn't, you know, sometimes you don't have it exactly how you want it during rehearsal. Doesn't matter.
Keep going.
Clock's ticking.
Yep.
Moving along. Nominated for a variety talk series. Also, Colbert, Trevor Noah, John Oliver. I think John Oliver wins every year, but he's going to win every year. Because they just give you a sample of the show to review, and you watch a half hour of the show or an episode of the show, but there's a big difference between doing it every day versus once a week. But either way, they haven't worked it out. And then Drag Race won again.
Sure did.
Every fucking year, which is like, oh, come on. They can't win every year.
Yes, they can.
No,
Shantae,
they cannot.
You stay. Don't sashay away.
So, anyway, like I said, Baby Doll was there, Danny Two Sheets.
Oh, he's a winner either way.
All the usual suspects.
Was there anywhere for him to smoke? Since it was Nashville, he probably had some more options.
Yeah, there was some guys smoking cigarettes and beyond out front of the venue, like to the side. There was, you know, because they're the people who smoke, like Baby Doll, and then the people who get drunk and smoke. And a very high percentage of women who, when they get drunk, do smoke.
Yep.
I think it's higher than men.
Really?
I do.
I think you're right.
Like women who aren't daily smokers or daytime smokers, when they catch a buzz, they tend to get out there. We did the move at a certain point where, and I love this about Daniel, he grabbed the chair. And we rushed out to the middle of the dance floor.
You did?
And we threw Katie
the hoop
on it.
With
and
the
Hora. And we pulled her up over our head.
How'd it go?
Very good.
Okay, because I just told
the
my
Shavari
DJ.
The Shavari chairs in pieces.
We're going to do the Hora, just the Hora dancing. But I told him to skip the chairs because I didn't know if. I was scared that like no, there wouldn't be enough able-bodied men.
Mm.
I'm out.
Yeah.
Fuck.
We
no,
did
that's
this.
A good thing for Eugenia.
Her, thankfully, she and her husband,
well,
Will.
She had 10 groomsmen.
Husband Will's sure. kind of a flyweight. So yeah. that, you know, didn't. If we would have tried to get Jimmy's son, Kevin, up on that bad boy, that would have been. You know, some grunt. He's a big dude.
And
I don't mean
do the
fat.
Parents.
I just mean he's big.
Yeah. And you didn't do Jimmy and Molly.
No.
Okay.
No, we just did the bride and the groom.
Did you did you last the duration of Simcha Tov or Mazel Tov?
No, because we didn't do it during any song in particular.
Interesting.
At some point, Daniel just thought it'd be a good idea to commandeer a chair and rush the dance floor.
Great.
So we did. We did all that. Oh, and Jim Sr., Jimmy's dad, does, I think he does My Girl or Under the Boardwalk or something, but he does the, oh. not karaoke version, but the air guitar lip sync version
wow.
of that song every time. I forgot
no.
about that. There's traditions.
I didn't know that.
A lot of traditions with
wow.
the Kimmel family. Oh, and... here's a little twist on, and I don't know if this exists, it must, but everyone should do it, which is we were talking about Chris having a deck put on, right, and the mm-hmm. deck fun and people contributing to the
yeah.
deck.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Katie had a kind of limited registry of stuff. But if you got locked out of that, there wasn't any more toasters or mm-hmm. air fryers or candlesticks to buy, you could give to a general remod fund.
That's on Honey Fund, yeah.
Which just, hey, we're living in a house. It could, you know, one of the bathrooms
yeah,
ain't
yeah.
what it
yep.
used to be. We're looking at making a move. And if you get locked out of the gifts, then just contribute to this fund.
It's good.
Smart.
It's good,
the
right?
extensive... totally off the top of my head, is the extensive registry a bit gauche when you or and or your family are worth many, many, many millions of dollars?
Oh, good question.
The extensive, you mean like...
Yeah, like that, the huge registry or even a registry.
Or the honeymoon fund.
Yeah.
I've not been to too many plotted weddings. I'm wondering if this is the, you know, this is the how it's done.
I guess, but I will say most of the people I know... who are well off, who have kids, their kids are oftentimes just, well, I live in an apartment in Glendale, or I'm a substitute school teacher, or I got a little house, you know, it's modest,
right.
or whatever, but we're saving up to fix it up. Like, I don't know.
That's just a waste of my time.
The parents, see, I think there's a division here, which is the responsible and well-to-do and hardworking parents are there to be a safety net,
right.
but not a ladder.
Sure.
You know what I mean? They're just there so if the kid ever needs rehab or there's a foreclosure or the tax man is coming right. and wants to get the deed,
some
you know,
accident
they will bail them out. But the day-to-day stuff, it's kind of up to them. I mean, that seems to be the deal that I talk to the Mark Garagos and the Dr. Drews and the Kimmels of the world, and they're like, well, she's saving up. She wants to get a Mini Cooper. You know, they're living in this apartment. Like, no one seems to be intervening
right.
in any real
Good.
Way. Yeah, it's how it should be. It's there. If the wheels come off the wagon, we will be there. But if not, it's your wagon.
It's you. And
right.
also, I wish we were more like the Italians and the Chinese, because that's when it's not just appropriate, but the right thing to do to bring an envelope of cash to the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Like at Italian weddings, they'll have a bag, and that's yep. where the cash goes. But Whitey doesn't do that. So you have to have things on registries, or people get very uncomfortable, I'm coming to find out.
God. All right. Oh, I haven't even been to Hill. I mean, oh.
But we have the same thing. We have a down payment fund.
Oh, okay.
Now, I just need a million more guests and we'll get there in LA.
Oh, Adam, let's talk over here.
Uh-oh.
That's you and me going on a gift for Gina. 90-10.
Okay.
No.
So I'll do it.
I don't even know.
I don't even care anymore. I'm still trying to get Garagus, this kid, something halfway decent. That thing was all locked out, too.
Jet of hay fuel.
Yeah.
A gallon.
All right. We got a question or two up there. We got some Emmy talk. First, I'll tell you about Tommy John. Fall. Man, chaos in your pants. Overheating one second, freezing the next. Yeah, be ready for anything with Tommy John underwear. I'm wearing mine right now. It's the best, especially when you travel. It's very lightweight. You can roll it up. It takes up no room in your bag, but works like a charm. Breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric with four times the stretch of competing brands. Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. Over 16 million pairs sold this fall. Upgrade to what you're wearing underneath. That's Tommy John underwear. Luxuriously soft loungewear as well. Oh, as it cools off, you got to get in some of that loungewear. It's the best pair you'll ever wear. It's free. Guaranteed. Right, Dawson?
Get 20% off your first order right now at TommyJohn.com/Adam. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam. See site for details.
All right. Got a lot more to bring to you, and we'll do all that right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Rich man, get it on. Got a rich man, poor man for you. Evacuated by government aircraft. Definitely not a middle class move. Mahalo.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
All right, we got a couple of your calls up there. We got a little Emmy talk to get into as well. I heard, was Steve Harvey the host?
No, Cedric the Entertainer.
Oh, shit. Black Simile.
That was very offensive.
Man. I feel like Steve's the go-to guy in that, but Cedric.
Yeah.
All right. And I heard it was good.
Yeah, I have actually have a clip. I don't know if you, did you see the rap at the beginning?
I saw nothing of it, but it struck me. Things need a host.
Yes.
They just shouldn't be hostless. It flies in the face of the award show or whatever it is you're putting on.
Totally
like it
agree.
Just needs somebody at the helm.
Steering it. Yeah.
It's also insane how fast as a society we can go from, oh, of course there has to be a host. There's a host every year. We're going hostless. Like yeah. how fast did you guys get there?
1 year.
Yeah. I mean, like we've kind of talked about before, but it's like, somebody invented a cell phone, and then the cell phone was around for 20 years before I would part with my landline.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone kept telling me, you don't need a landline. I go, yes, I do. Old habits die hard. We went from host and Bob Hope and everyone else to pow, no host.
Yep.
We all agreed on it.
Yep.
When was that vote taken? Like it seems,
I don't think it was.
And then all the other
fall of last year,
all the other shows just followed suit. Yep. Like, oh, well, they're not having a host. We should know. Yep. You know why not have a host?
It is better.
Of course, it's better.
But
yes.
Part of the reason we know is because every host that was being considered would get taken down.
Yeah.
Right. Because it would be a person who had a fucking sense of humor and people who've got. Once you get to the point where you could join the pool of potential hosts, you are now a comedian who has been there and done that.
You have a career
of
jokes.
We don't go with 23-year-old unknown open mic Tuesday night. Now you're hosting the Emmys. Like, we don't go for that. We go for long and seasoned. And then long and seasoned means you've spoken into a microphone. You've sent out tweets. You've had conversations because you've been trying to entertain people somewhere near that edge, somewhere near that line. Where the line used to be. And now we'll just go look up a bunch of shit and you won't be able to host.
Yep.
probably should have nipped this shit in the bud a long time ago, maybe with Kevin Hart. I don't know, but somebody should have went, no, we're not doing that. We're not looking up tweets from 2009 and holding it against them. We're running a show. That doesn't mean we condone whatever the tweets were. It just means we want a competent, skilled person to helm the ship.
Well, Cedric the Entertainer must be squeaky clean because he made it through just fine.
Do we have something we want to play?
If we give another minute, they could probably find it. But it opens with Cedric coming out and rapping to Biz Markie's "You Got What I Need," and that's really all funny, and everyone's loving it. And then LL Cool J comes out and he takes over, and it's all like parody written. And then they start passing the mics to celebrities, and that's when we go from LL Cool J to Rita Wilson, and we have that part.
Oh.
About over is about to end. Just wanna say TV, you are my best friend.
And then they give the mics to audience members.
It's such a fine line between It's such a fine line between cultural appropriation and just scared Whitey. This walks that fine line.
You know what's interesting about this though? I was looking for highlights and it just said like the opening rap, oh God, why? And I was like, I'm prepared. And I'm like, you know what? This is fun. This is cute. Everyone's having a good time. You don't have to shit on it. I mean,
I agree.
It's a little lame, but everyone was having fun.
It's fine. A little energy, a little something. Yeah. It's fine.
Were those raps lip synced?
It suspiciously looked lip synced.
And studio perfect, especially Cedric, because the big fella should be breathing heavily.
There's variation in your vocals when you move the microphone around. There was zero variation.
You know
it was in the studio when that was recorded.
The rapper, that was one of the guys up there. And he put his hand so far over his mic. Clearly they didn't want people to think about that. But thank you, Brian, for ruining the magic.
Well, either way,
I'm the only one who noticed.
A little energy,
ruined magic.
A little music, fine, good. Get a host, have a host. Here we go.
Wasn't that reminiscent of who did the Glenn Close at the Oscars last year?
Yeah, right?
Doing the breaking
butt.
Down the
That was a kind of derivative.
Yeah,
like
extremely.
That's where they got the idea.
I know, but I've been in those writers' rooms and somebody should have raised their hand and went, that's a funny idea, except for Glenn Close did it.
But we're going to do it way bigger.
Don't a lot of those writers write for the same award shows, David Wilde's of the world?
Yes, yes.
Also, the other super funny thing, and I didn't pull the clip because it's totally visual, but when the president of the Academy or whatever comes out and everyone gives their polite board clap, Conan O'Brien stands up, starts going insane, over the top clapping, and when people finally calm down and the president gives a speech, Conan stays standing and saluting the whole time.
That's funny. All right, got a couple of calls. I got a little compare and contrast for you guys. I'll first talk to Eric, 47, North Carolina. Eric? Oh, boy, did I punch him up? No. Eric?
Yes, I'm here. How are you doing?
Hi, Guy.
So I'm a few weeks behind on the podcast, and I was just last week listening to the one where you guys were discussing the Unbreakable Combs.
Yes.
And I have a memory. You were curious. You were, because when Chris looked it up, it seemed like a high-end item that you were wondering why you knew about it.
I
remember getting them for school pictures.
No, the Unbreakable Comb was ubiquitous. It was on every comb I saw between the ages of 5 and 19. That was my argument.
Okay.
It was always on there.
I remember getting them school pictures. They'd always hand them out. And, of course, when you had a bunch of 10-year-olds a comb that says Unbreakable, every single one's broken by the time we get up to
the plan was...
Yeah. We'll see about that.
Yeah, it was like putting the sign up at the museum, do not touch the vase. All the kids have to touch it now. Is that all you had to contribute to the program today, Eric?
Can I do a quick rich man, poor man?
Sure.
You have to have an armed officer with you when you're out in public.
Mm-hmm.
You're either the convicted felon going to court or the CEO...
Yeah,
be a rich convicted felon.
It's all right.
We're on a
the thing about the cops and the courts, it's kind of low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Well, Ted Bundy wasn't poor. Yeah.
Right. A correction.
Timely reference.
Somebody tweeted me that I called, and now we can figure this out in real time, that I called Deacon Jones, the Minister of Defense, and they said, well, that's Reggie White, the Minister of Defense, which I'm aware of because he's a minister.
Yes.
But it also struck me that Deacon Jones was the Minister of Defense.
His name was Deacon, for God's sake.
They called him the Secretary of Defense.
Oh. Really?
Yes.
Deacon's right there.
I know, and I agree with me. And also, I do not know if there's a difference between the Secretary of Defense and the Minister of Defense.
I think
they just change as the years wore on. We just changed it from something to the other. But either way, I'm not going to take a W on that one. I'm going to say...
look at you.
I was not the Minister of Defense, but it was the Secretary of Defense, and good enough.
Gina nailed that yesterday in football trivia.
It was one of the ones I got.
I'm sure of it. All right, let me talk to Steve, 38, Space Coast. Oh, we must have talked to you, Steve, before, right?
Oh, yeah. A couple months ago, I called after the Bezos and the Branson flights to space.
You're the photographer,
right?
I'm the photographer. And we just had a pretty epic mission here from the Space Coast. We had the Inspiration 4 mission launch on a SpaceX Dragon, where four private citizens went to space, not professional astronauts, and they orbited the Earth for 3 days.
Well, you guys are burning through my stories today.
I gotta tell you, these are bad days for professional astronauts. Because when I was growing up, if you were a professional astronaut, you were untouchable.
You were the best and the brightest.
You were well above a fighter pilot, a commercial airline pilot.
You were a fighter pilot match with a mathematician.
Yeah, scientist.
You were Evel Knievel match with a mathematician. Like, you were brown. Now it's like, oh, she's 19 and she goes to the local junior college. She's got a learning disability, but we're sending her up.
Spring break, bitches.
Like, we're just taking civvies and throwing them in outer space and they're coming home fine.
Yeah.
They haven't fucked up any. Not one of them, like, flushed the toilet too many times.
Got sucked out
or anything. So maybe there's not so much to this astronaut business after all, Steve.
Well, I mean, it was a paid trip. Three of them didn't have to pay because one was a billionaire. But they just splashed down Saturday evening. And I'm wondering, Ace Man, when are you going to take a flight?
I got to find a billionaire friend because I don't know if you're listening to me talking about the first class lounge and it being a little too rich for my blood.
If you can't manage that.
If you're going to profile someone that's going to pay to go into orbit, it's not the dude who wants his money back because it doesn't like lentil soup. Yes.
Do you guys want to do you want to wager a guess as to what movie they were watching when they descended back to Earth?
Is it something stupid like 2001 or Apollo 13?
It's something stupid, and it's right in your wheelhouse. No offense.
Mm-hmm. Transformers?
No.
Some space-related nonsense?
Spaceballs.
Oh, that's actually pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. Ironic and kind of funny.
Yeah.
I mean, something, if you weren't funny, you would think it was funny.
Oh, you're talking.
Steve.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Well, you're not in the writer's room at Kimmel. Mm-hmm. Those guys aren't going to crack a smile. But if you're at Thanksgiving USA and you're telling that story, then you're going to get a big hearty laugh from your uncle. It's like, I had a few too many.
Yeah.
Steve, sorry.
Yeah, you know, it's only a cool about $50 million a seat. You know,
maybe
some of your rich buddies get some Jimmy Kimmels and others to go on a man show reunion flight, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think I could cop a seat on that private jet leaving Nashville. So this would be kind of a tall order. But thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think it would be really cool for you to go up there, and I'd love to hear your perspective on looking at the Earth for 3 days from orbit. That's kind of what I was thinking, because they've got this cool cupola, this big bubble window at the capsule.
All those.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. My theory is my feel a boob, stand up on a surfboard feeling, which is if you've done both of those things, they're exactly as you thought they would be pre the experience.
Sure.
Okay.
Standing up on a surfboard feels exactly like
you
what you
would.
Thought it would be, and so does a booby when you hadn't felt one at 15. They feel
you're
exactly.
Like, you're more or less right.
And I could feel
I've never experienced this.
Floating in space and looking down on the earth, I feel like I would, I already feel like I know it.
Yeah.
But maybe it's because movies have done such an incredible job of capturing it over the last few years.
But you'd be actually a really good candidate because of your low resting pulse.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would have to do 3 years of cognitive behavioral therapy before I'd get in that thing. But you would just get in.
Yeah, I would go for it, but at $50 million. And by the way, when somebody buys you, you know, when you're 23 and somebody buys you a $50 million ride to go to outer space and then splash down, aren't you essentially that person's slave for the rest of your life?
You're their indentured servant. Yeah. You're never going to work it off.
You're a blood debt.
You think that person could call you and go, hey, you think you could pick me up at the airport? And you go, I don't know. The Raiders are coming on in 20 minutes.
It's overtime.
I mean, if no one else will do it.
There's no. Is the Uber stand? Can you get that at the terminal now? Or is it just a short shuttle ride? Like, I just feel like, you know, if you're going to do it, do it with a bunch of 26-year-olds who will essentially be your indentured servants for the rest of your natural life.
That's a good call.
All right. Let's see. Dave Schulman. Oh, Dave Schulman says he went to high school with me. Huh? Dave Schulman. Dave Schulman?
Adam, how are you?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. We're all, you know, I live in Solana Beach. We're all looking forward to seeing you down there. I'll give you a heads up.
I was just thinking about that. I'm happy you're coming out. Dave Schulman had great hair back when it meant something.
Was it feathery like Leif Garrett?
It was totally feathery, and Adam used to totally make fun of my hair.
I loved it. What do you mean? Listen, Dave, first off, you kids, I just got back from a wedding. Mm-hmm. There were people upper age of the range were 70s, mid-70s. Lower end were the kids, 5, 6 years old. There was no one haircut. Everyone just went with the best haircut that suited them follically.
Right.
Not back when Dave and I went to junior high or high school. Junior high, there was a haircut. That was feathered. I could not do that with my hair. Dave.
Yeah, you could. There was no way, Adam, there was no way you could do that with your hair.
No possible way.
That would be an impossibility.
We get it, Dave.
Dave did a move. I was so envious of this move. Dave used to carry his unbreakable comb with him.
Of course.
He had a comb. Dave would do a move. He'd hang his head down, invert it.
Uh-huh.
Invert it.
Yep.
Comb against the grain.
And just
then
whip
pop
it.
Up.
Oh, yeah, like the Little Mermaid.
Every once in a while, you do a double pump. Boom, boom, pow. The hair would just land. I look like fucking Eraserhead.
So it is exactly what I did. That's funny you remember that.
Dave, I remember it burning my psyche.
And tell me he's bald.
No, I think he's still got a good head.
No, I got a good head of hair, so I'm lucky it's all I got.
Let me tell you, Dave, I think to myself all the time, like I have these little thoughts. I had one the other day. I don't know if you guys ever have these thoughts, but when I was, you know, I think to myself, like when I was 23, if somebody said, look, sign this piece of paper, the devil crafted, it will ensure that you make $1 million in your life, but you will die by the age of 50. Mm. I would have went, give me that paper.
Yeah. More money
at the time.
Than you'll ever see.
When I saw Dave Schulman do the double pump with the flip back, I would have definitely traded. If the devil had crafted two toes and a pinky finger or just shave 14 years off your life, I would have would have signed it right there.
A bargain at any price.
Dr. Faust.
And I just feel like that kind of personal momentum really was the wind beneath your wings, Dave. Am I right?
Well, that's true. I mean, I was too small to play football. And you used to tell me that all the time, that I was, I think we played football one time, and you told me that I was far too small and not good enough, but I could serve. So that was about the extent of it.
Oh, you could play tennis. That's right.
Serve?
Yeah,
no,
I didn't play tennis.
Yeah,
I didn't play tennis. I served.
Yeah, well, that's surf. Oh, sorry, surf. I thought you said surf.
Yeah,
surf.
The point is
neither one involves a helmet where your glorious hair could not be appreciated by the fans.
Yeah.
No. I could just shake it in the water. That's all I could do.
Oh my God!
I'm seeing it in slow motion right now. Literally combing against the grain, and then a double pump, and pow!
Like Ariel, the Little
just
Mermaid.
Land.
Yeah.
Where were you when somebody told you about feathered hair and you realized, my God, I'm the perfect candidate for this? Do you remember where you were, Dave?
Yeah, it was my neighbor. My neighbor, who was much older than me and super hot, she goes, you should do your hair this way. And I was like, all right, no problem.
Wow.
It was a kind of cross. All right, there was Leif Garrett, who had the big the big hair, had the feather going. But it was the Cassidy brothers that really sealed the deal on the male side.
That's right.
Brought it home.
The ladies, it was Farrah Fawcett and many others. But for the men, it was the Cassidy brothers who had that perfect feathered hair. Was that that must have been groundbreaking for you, David, when your neighbor switched you over to the feathered look and you realize I can go be the king of ninth grade simply based on this hairstyle?
It was actually in eighth grade. However, it was a life changer and still is.
Yeah.
And everybody still talks about my hair, just so you know that.
I mean, look, I'll be honest. I was bitter up until recently. And I mean, recently, I mean, like 3 years ago.
Sure.
Wasn't yesterday.
Right.
But, now that I've gotten a little distance from your feathered hair, I'm starting to really appreciate it now.
You come to terms.
Yeah.
Well, my feathered hair, look forward to seeing you guys down here on Tuesday. We're going to come to both shows and say hello.
Is it Wednesday?
Is it Wednesday? Are you guys here Tuesday or Wednesday?
Wednesday.
I was told Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah. I know for a fact it's Wednesday.
Yes, but come to both shows, David, and we'll come out.
So
come backstage.
I'm going to come to both shows. Can I bring you a cocktail or anything, or you guys need some places to go have a drink or some food somewhere?
We're going to pretty much just blow into town, do the two shows, and blow out because it's a long bus ride.
I'll be kicking the green room for an hour while you guys do show number two. So bring treats. Mm.
Feel free to order stuff to the stage.
I will bring you guys some cocktails up to the stage. I'll have Claudia bring some cocktails for the belly up.
Thank you, David. I look forward to you and the hair.
All right. Look forward to seeing you guys.
See you, brother. Take care.
Wow. Yeah.
That was really like, I couldn't even associate really with him because there was such a chasm between my hair and his hair.
Absolutely. You're one of the untouchables, the caste system.
Yes. Yeah, I was probably not welcome in his circle.
No.
I understood it. It's not like
you accepted it.
It was understood.
It's funny because he's off the phone, right?
Yes.
It's not a great look. I'm looking at it now.
Well,
now, of course, I understand, but I'm trying to figure out what the girls were like. Check that, Andy Gibb looking guy out.
But imagine if the deal was there is simply one haircut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now
you can pull it off or you can't.
If you're Dave Schulman, good.
Yeah.
If you're Adam Carolla or Nate Wittenberg, you're fucked. Right? But the point is that's the only hair day.
Yeah.
And
true.
I mean, you see these guys like you see
Oh, is that him?
Is that him today?
Well, there's a lawyer named David S. Schulman with great hair.
Yeah, that's him.
He looks hair, a nice looking guy.
His hair
is a surfer.
No, that's David. Yeah, his hair
that's
is good. Yeah.
Find out his yearbook for God's sake.
It's honestly, again, like it's like the early 70s when everyone needed long hair. I don't care how bald you were, you combed it over, you dragged it out, you did whatever. It's like nobody, there was one hairstyle, that was the hairstyle, that's what it was. Women, ironically, the women had a little latitude because they had the Dorothy Hamill.
Oh, God, that's your other choice. Yeah.
There was a shorter version of your hair.
Yeah, like a modified bowl.
Yeah, but man, when I saw him do that double pump, I was like, really gilding the lily there, Dave, with the double.
Yeah.
The double. And then also the notion of me combing my hair backwards.
Oh, my God.
Against, I would have just popped up and looked like I was wearing one of those styrofoam pieces of cheese that they wear at the Green Bay game.
That's what
my, my hair would have looked like an answer Gina couldn't get.
That's right.
In a trivia competition. All right. Any Dave Shulman from the yearbook?
Yeah, we got it. It's loading up right now.
Oh, man. It was glorious.
What was the other? It was Sean and who was the other Cassidy?
David.
Also,
I have no idea.
Can I tell you this? The hair, the right hair, the right feathered blonde hair, opened up a world of possibilities. For instance, Jufro, you couldn't wear puka shells.
Oh, no.
Looked like a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
That hair, that would support puka shells.
Yeah. You're right.
You wear puka shells, you can wear surf shirts, undone. Like you could do anything with that hair. It was a top-down, trickle-down, follicle-down situation. You could wear some cool OP shorts.
Mm-hmm.
You could wear some Vans, some slip-on Vans. Yeah. Like you could really adopt an entire look.
Right.
The surfer
a lifestyle.
Look. Yes, it was a lifestyle. Oh, look at him. Look
it's more glorious than I imagined.
I told you it was glorious.
He's wearing an necklace.
I told you I couldn't wear them. I could barely pull off like a plastic Italian horn.
Wow, that is majestic. You got to bring that picture to the show.
I'm telling you, I knew how to pick them.
That is, I'm jealous. I covet that hair.
Well, I wouldn't
as
give.
A Jew? Oh my God! Between the three of us,
his hair is spectacular.
Like duck feathers,
it's blonde. It's
soft.
Oh,
you
God!
Dust your shells of that shit.
And look at and he knows it. Look at that look in his eye.
That's right.
Oh my God! Come at me,
Dave
bro.
Fucking Shulman.
It's back. It's back when your hair was about 60 to 80% of your entire junior high school experience back then. Now, whatever. Do whatever you want with your hair, whatever works.
That's glorious.
All right. Let's see. Best enchiladas and cheese. I'm interested in this.
Oh, look at where he's from, Adam.
Oh, San Antonio. What? Carmelo, 32?
All right. I'm on the Corolla One, man. This is awesome. How you doing, guys?
What's going on?
What's happening?
Hi, guy.
Hey, real quick, Gina and Ball Brian, man, that was the, I listened, I guess it was, y'all recorded it yesterday, but it came out today. That was awesome. Gina, you had me sitting there listening to Alanis Morissette and, you know, all these damn 90s, yeah, I guess I'm a Tool. I was so tooling it up all the way home.
Thank you. Yeah, we did. I did a Tool Tune Edition Lilith Fair. So it was pretty fun.
Good. What do you got, Carmelo?
Yeah.
So, Adam, the last time, I think I missed you. You were here at the Majestic, I think, the last time, or maybe the Aztec.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one you were at. But you had posted something on Twitter as you were leaving. Like, you made kind of a sour face saying that, like, when you find out the enchiladas are made with American cheese. And I think that's funny because, like, to me, honestly, maybe it's the poor man enchiladas that, you know, we grew up with or whatever. But my dad always used to say that, government cheese was the one that was the best. That, you know, my grandma, they that was what they get. You know, there were seven of them, and my grandpa was like a janitor, so you know they didn't make shit.
I'd like to support that.
Said government cheese was always the best enchiladas. That like he would ask certain restaurants, like it's like he would kind of single it out and ask them, what kind of cheese are you using? You know, like he wanted to get some of that shit. You know what I mean? But I guess he didn't want to have to go and. You know, I get work hard enough. You know, you're not going to get government cheese anymore.
Carmelo,
it still tastes good. You know what I mean?
Trust me. I think I would imagine the similarity of American cheese and government cheese is that it melts. It melts more evenly as opposed to just a shredded cheese that came from God,
All right.
In the earth.
Now, the reason your dad will die a janitor.
Oh God.
Actually, my dad's an electrician. My grandpa was a janitor. My dad's a master electrician.
The reason your grandfather died a janitor is
he's still alive and drinking.
His grandpa's 58.
The reason your grandfather's an alcoholic janitor and will take it to the grave is because he is not progressing in life. One must be a janitor for a couple of summers and then go, fuck this noise.
Yeah.
I got to see about getting a higher degree or some form of vocational training. I need to progress. It's that exact same gene that kept him into the government cheese. That,
right.
Everyone grows up on the shitty cheese, and at some point you go, F this. I want the good stuff. Now, I will, and I can't think of the name of it, but there's plenty of room for the Mexican cheese in there.
What is
the
queso fresco?
Yeah.
Queso fresco.
There's room for that in there. The other thing, here's my whole thing with American cheese. If you're going to order things, well, first off, I can't tell you how many human beings do not understand the difference between cheese and American cheese.
It's good. It's not real. I get it.
No,
well, the thing is, you got to figure the food though.
Hold on. I mean, look.
Not just that. They just don't know that there is a difference. Like, oh, there are different kinds of cheese.
Yeah, it'd be like there's grape soda and there's grape juice, and you're going, yeah, grape. Yeah, what are you talking about? Like,
Sunny Dean orange juice. It's the same thing, right?
No. Yeah, it's different. It's a different thing.
Yeah.
You know
Chef Boyardee and pasta.
Cool Whip and whipped cream.
Yes, they're both like the same color and the same family or phylum or something, but it is not the same thing. People are insane. Here's the tricky one. You'll order. I was ordering a hamburger the other day, and I was like, "What kind of cheese you got?" And they go, "We have American cheese, and we have pepper jack." And I'm like, "A lot of time, pepper jack is American. It is American. Yeah. It's synthesized
with the red dots
in it. Thing in it." And then I go, "Is the pepper jack?" Cheese? Is it like cheese?
So is that?
She's like, yeah, it's cheese. It's American cheese, pepper jack cheese. Like, first of all, you work at a fucking restaurant. You really don't. But here's my whole thing with
a little block of cheddar back there.
My whole yes, my thing is like
sleeve.
It's fake. It's synthetic. Okay, here's my point. All I need is a heads up. First things first, it's not the same. Just like if you ordered grape juice and they brought you grape soda, better Sunny D and orange juice. It is not the same thing. It's different, but it's substantial enough. And all they have to do is give you a heads up.
Sure.
So you go, I'll have cheese enchiladas or I'll have a cheeseburger. And they go, okay, it is not this.
Right.
It is that. And then once they do that, then that's up to you.
Right.
You can change your order. You can modify your order. But so many people who work at restaurants are just like, well, it's cheese. What the fuck? I mean, don't you feel like you... When you were 9, don't you feel like you knew the difference between the Kraft single slice and the piece of cheddar that you cut off?
Of course. Not only that, I liked the American cheese better when I was 9.
Right.
Most 9-year-olds do.
Unlike this guy's alcoholic janitor, no count.
Dead grandpa.
Dead grandfather. He did not evolve as you did.
No, yeah, Grandpa's still, I don't think he gives a shit what he eats anymore, but, Like I said, my dad couldn't just go get the government cheese either, like you're talking about, Adam. I guess, yeah, I mean, he became a master electrician or whatever, and, obviously we weren't, and that's honestly why I like your show, too. You talk about being a carpenter and shit. It's kind of cool to hear, somebody out there that's got a podcast that their parents weren't some kind of fucking, professor or some shit. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
disdain.
Yeah. No, I had the white collar in my family, although not the earning part of the white collar. You know what I had?
Well, your dad was a professor.
I had all the baggage of the white collar.
Yeah.
The fucking horrible attitude and the high hat and all that, minus any of the income.
Like, minus the prestige and the
Well,
status.
Like, if your dad's like a really successful surgeon, maybe he's a douche, but at least you live in a
you
big house.
Right. Nice circles.
You get a car when you're 16.
But if your dad's a blue-collar guy, then you're going to go play a lot of catch out in the front yard, and he's going to build you a basketball hoop. I got all the fucking shitty baggage of the white-collar minus any of the income.
Oof.
All right. Oh, man. I was working construction today, Carmelo. You guys would not. I'll get into it in a later show, but I was. Woo! I did a. Some things are a little bigger, a little heavier, a little more involved, involve a little more risk and a little more planning. Today was a big day for that.
Ooh.
So I did some serious work, but I'll get to that because our guest is here. Let me tell you about a podcast, Business Wars Podcast on Wondery. Yeah, in the 90s. Two new hip-hop record labels shocked parents and won fans worldwide, selling tens of millions of albums. The Business Wars podcast from Wondery has the story of Death Row and Bad Boy Records, changing American music and how the East Coast and West Coast rivalry turned deadly. Oh, man. Yeah, remember those days? Larger-than-life characters, Tupac, Biggie, Dr. Dre, Snoop, Puff Daddy, Suge Knight, all those guys in a heated battle, and it's all broken down beautifully and episodically by the Business Wars podcast. And you can listen to Business Wars podcast, Business Wars Death Row versus Bad Boy. It's on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or you can listen 1 week early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. That is Business Wars Podcast. All right. Let's see.
Look at that face.
Well, you know, the thing about when
what is this?
When you eat,
that's the bad enchilada. Okay.
The problem with bad food.
Which is gone off the plate, by the way.
It's like the
that
time
was me.
Okay.
I gave it to Chris. I travel with
ground.
I travel with a crow and a pelican.
Yeah.
So I can feed them whatever scraps happen that aren't good enough for my discerning palate.
Sure, of course.
But I will say I've never had an enchilada made with American cheese because I don't have an alcoholic grandfather. So it's like the first bite is this tastes curious. Your mind, let me tell you something about your mind. Your mind is constantly trying to help.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what I mean? Famously, when Jimmy told us to eat the clam soup, I had to eat the bisque, and I knew something was wrong. I took the first bite, and it was clam chowder, and I was like, oh, something's wrong. And then Jimmy's like, no, it's smoked. And my brain went to that place of like, okay, I'm going to try to make you correct. And I took the next bite, and I was like, and he's like, nope, you missing it. And I was like, okay. That's what I was doing with the cheese enchiladas.
Because whether it's enchiladas or clam chowder, the one thing is wrong with it, but there's between 5 and 25 other elements or ingredients where you're like,
fine.
Everything else tastes normal.
It's got the sauce, it's got the tortillas, it's got everything else, and yes.
And that's why when people smell something bad, they smell it harder and fast. Like, what is that? But it's bad, but that's your brain trying to just figure out what the hell it is.
We got Ian Bagg, comedian, who's going to join us, and we'll do that right after this.
Pluto TV is playing the biggest movies every night this summer, for free. Watch hit movies like The Matrix, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Scary Movie, Runaway Bride, and more all summer long. Check out the biggest stars like The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of free TV channels in English and Spanish featuring TV shows, news, sports, comedy, and more, all for free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device, including Android and Apple smartphones. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.